close, but it's
the next best thing to
L. What's the L doing on the R side? Okay. What?
Yes.
Are we on?
We're on.
Well, see that? You didn't tell me. You give me the 7-6 business. Well, the Republicans offer a 12-step program for America. 1, no. 2, no. 3, are you kidding? 4, 5, not going to happen. 6, don't think so. 7, no. 8, what part of no don't you understand? 9, 10, I'll get back to you. 11, whatever. And 12, right. Well, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, with Jim Packard announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know? Packing for Mars author Mary Roach simulates space living without leaving the planet. Our town of the week, Barrow, Alaska, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Now, the man who's 26th of the 25 MacArthur geniuses, Michael Feldman.
What is that, a stretch fabric you got there? What is that?
That's cotton.
It bounces right back.
It's cotton.
It's Lycra or something.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
It's very stretchy.
Yeah. That's what they're doing with cotton these days.
The touch.
That's
the
first time I've tugged on your pants, actually. And it's,
no.
It's quite exhilarating. It's not the first. You're right.
You've pulled my leg many times.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Packing for Mars. It's about time to do that, I would say, here. And this is The Curious Science of Life in the Void. And Mary Roach has written it, and she's a very entertaining writer. And it's about really what we got to go through. We got to start thinking about Mars now. And, you know, the Russians, just they're putting a hotel in orbit. So, you know, you go all the way, you go into space, and you find a Russian hotel. Really, it's not the... You know, the greatest destination probably in space, but Mary Roach probably has more to say about that. She's online with us from Oakland. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. Let me ask you this, Mary. Vaginal weightlifting in space. Easier or harder?
Useless. Absolutely useless. Waste of money.
A waste of money.
Don't waste your money on it. No.
Oh, okay. I'm not even going to ask what it is. I have no idea what it is, but I know you did do some writing on this.
Do you want me to tell you about?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Aww. I'd rather keep the mystique on that whole. Is it a competitive sport? I'm just gonna.
I still have the weight. I use it as a paperweight, paperweight on my desk. It's quite handsome.
Okay, moving right along here now. Well, there is, of course, sex in space is one of the questions that keeps coming up here, and we don't actually know if actually there has been, I assume there has been, sex in space.
Well, I don't know about that. I tried awfully hard to get to the bottom of that.
Did you?
I even went to the extreme, well, not really an extreme, but I couldn't get anybody who's an astronaut or a cosmonaut to admit to it, so I thought... Well, it doesn't. To me, it doesn't really have to be in space. Zero gravity. See, that would be interesting to me. Zero gravity, and you can do that on Earth in those planes. You know, where you pay $5,000.
Yeah.
And you go on one of those flights where you're weightless for 20 seconds at a time.
Have you done that?
I did do that. Yeah.
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 But you didn't do the other thing while you were doing that.
No, they frown on that.
Wow.
So I didn't. I did not. And it would be a little. You know, you have 20 seconds at a time, and then you come back down.
That's all I need. I don't know about you.
and then you've got double gravity, where you both would weigh twice as much. So that could be uncomfortable, depending on the weights of the two participants.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where the remorse sets in anyhow. So that would be good, I think, in that situation. But there is like the three dolphin club that you mentioned. Now, is that a Russian thing, or who came
up
with that?
No, that the three dolphin club was, this was a rumor, kind of an internet hoax.
Oh, it's a hoax.
A hoax that NASA had spent taxpayer dollars figuring out, using one of those big swimming pool tanks where they train astronauts. You know, they float around in water instead of in the air. Mm-hmm. And there was this rumor that they paid used taxpayer dollars to investigate the best sexual positions in mm-hmm. zero gravity. Yeah. And what they had determined was that, as with dolphins, mm-hmm. it helps to have a third party to push in the right place
with a snout.
At the right time.
A third party with a snout. Nice.
The snout was not deemed to be absolutely necessary in the case of humans, but if you want to do that, that's fine.
But when you think about it, now you went to the Japanese facilities and you've been to the Russian space facilities and NASA.
Yep.
And have you been to the Chinese facility?
I have not been to the Chinese. I wanted to go there.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. I was told that it would probably, I wouldn't get very far. I just thought, you know, I start my books with this sense of kind of dopey optimism where I think, well, I'll just sort of show up at the door and they'll invite me in and, you know, serve me some dim sum and away we go.
Yeah.
But I later found out that probably wasn't going to happen, so.
But, you know, I think just in this sex, I mean, with the Japanese are not going to allow, you know, sex in space, right? Because they run a tight ship.
They are, you never know with the Japanese. You know, the Japanese have, my last book was about, had to do with sex research. Mm-hmm. And when I was over promoting my book, mm-hmm. I learned some interesting things. They have, they actually have a, you can pay money to go into a simulated crowded subway car. You know, they have very crowded subway cars, and you can pick out who you want to be the people standing in front of you or behind you as your prep. So that was a surprise to me. So I'm not so sure about that.
Okay. But they do, in other areas of the Japanese program, I mean, you know, everybody has developed these programs, and NASA has, for years, been doing these astronaut training and screening kinds of things, but the Japanese seem to have taken it to the extreme.
I was over there when they were choosing two new astronauts, and they had the 10 finalists in a kind of an isolation chamber, sort of, you know, a make-believe spaceship situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the day that I was there, I didn't really know what to expect. I kind of assumed that they'd create this simulated emergency, where they have, say, a fire in the sleeping quarters. What will you do? You know, the pressure's on. But in fact, they had them doing origami. It was called the 1,000 cranes test, and between the 10 of them, they had to do 1,000 paper cranes. And I thought, well, what does this have to do with being an astronaut? But in fact, today's astronaut does a lot of sort of repetitive, tedious chores, and you have to maintain accuracy under pressure, and you've got to be, you know, stick to your task. So in a way, it was kind of a good test.
Yes, and you have to fold and no cutting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's sort of difficult to picture John Glenn.
Yes.
Folding paper cranes. But.
I was going to say that, or Gus Grissom.
Yeah.
We had enough
image.
Trouble, let alone folding.
Yeah. Now the recommended astronaut attributes include things like sense of humor, flexibility, fairness, ability to form stable and quality interpersonal relationships.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They're, you know, you need to play well with others.
Right, and eat all your food. The Japanese look to see if they eat all your food on your plate and don't hide your chicken skin.
Yes, that was what they had this. Yeah, after they ate a meal, each candidate, each of the finalists would put their dishes back in a little container with their number on it, their letter, rather, and then those containers would be secreted away and photographed, and they would look at how tidy they were and yes, there was one candidate who didn't eat his chicken skin. And had cleverly tried to hide the chicken skin under the miso soup bowl. He didn't get chosen in the end. So perhaps that was an important. That one was beyond me. I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah. Do we actually have a space program anymore, or an astronaut program? Because we seem to have abandoned.
Yeah. Let me know if you find it.
We're supposed to go back to the moon because Bush was talking about that a few years ago, and that seems to have gone away.
That's right. Years and years of. Work went into the moon base. We were going to have a base on the moon where there'd be a constant presence. People would be up there doing research, and it'd be sort of a staging area for Mars. But that was deemed, it had problems with the launch rocket. It was apparently not up to snuff. And there were, it's been canceled. Yeah, we're not going back to the moon. God knows where we're going. I don't know where we're going. They're saying near Earth asteroid, but the budget hasn't been approved. It's been almost, it'll be a year in spring.
Yeah.
And so all these people are sitting
there. See, an asteroid doesn't have the same, panache.
No, but at least it's different. I think people.
It will land on an asteroid by the end of the decade.
Yeah, I know. It's like the little prince, wasn't he on it? He's like, the little prince can do it. I don't know.
Yeah. So that's still up in the air, I guess. But Mars is supposedly down the line somewhere.
Yeah, it's still out there. It's still down the line. There's no date set. I mean, even before, we were looking at 2030 at the earliest. So, I don't know if it'll happen in my lifetime. I'm getting a little long in the tooth, so I don't know. We'll
but
see.
We have conceded the moon to the Chinese. The Chinese are taking over the moon.
The Chinese are taking over the moon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody told me that they, I don't know if this had happened already, but there was a plan afoot. They were going to form the a party, a chapter of the Chinese Communist Party in space.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how I feel about that. I guess it's all right. But there must be something there, is what I'm thinking. The Chinese are doing it, either the resources or a potential market.
There are resources, but it's incredibly expensive to be setting up a construction site on the moon, which was really what we were doing. I was over at, when I was at Johnson Space Center, they had a rover, a moon rover with a bulldozer blade, an adjustable bulldozer blade on the front of it. I mean, we were really going to be setting up, like in Antarctica, those bases that they have with kind of look like an old, like a West Virginia mining town, sort of like very basic little modular structures in Antarctica. That's sort of what we were going to do on the moon. And there's things to be extracted there, but I can't imagine making a profit after you figure in all of the expenses.
Yeah. Would you stay in a Russian hotel in space?
I've been to Russia.
Yeah.
I've used the toilet paper when there is toilet paper, and that's not all that often. So,
that's a frightening thought, isn't it? You think about it. It's bad enough having them on the space thing there, the lab, whatever that's called.
Yeah. Your Wi-Fi is just never going to work if it's been anything like my hotel.
Yeah, and because their behavior, for one thing, the Russians definitely drink in space.
A cosmonaut showed me a delightful photograph of the three cosmonauts floating in zero gravity, of course, floating around this metal sphere, kind of bolted together with little tubes coming out, kind of like teenagers sharing a mall.
It's like Wisconsin. We have the same thing. You wear it on your cap.
With 5 liters of cognac. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're a little more rough and tumble up there. I was told that on Mir, the old Soviet space lab, that they used to settle arguments with a friendly fist fight. I like that term. It's just a friendly fist fight.
Yeah.
Don't be alarmed.
It's pretty impressive in space, I bet. When you hit a guy, he travels, like 20 feet.
Yeah, there's that whole...
You think you really hit a guy. But.
Yeah, right. Who travels farther backward? I mean, you share the impact, so I think it's harder to bloody somebody's nose.
Yes.
In zero gravity.
Right. It's like the sex thing. Same thing.
It's like the sex thing. Yeah. Exactly. You're pushing each other apart, but who's really the winner in that? It's really, I would love to see that. That should be a new sport.
Yeah. And then hibernating bears in space.
Yes. It seemed to me that, this might take a little to explain to people, but there's a big problem when you're weightless. Your body starts to just figure, well, you're not using this skeleton very much, so we can just take it apart. You won't be needing that. So bone loss is a big problem.
Oh, yeah, bone loss, right.
And bears, bears hibernate for months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
They basically lie and don't use their skeletons. And but they don't have a problem with bone loss because they've adapted this way where they reapply the bone minerals to their bones. It's a very neat trick. So if we, in thinking of a Mars mission, actually bears would be excellent candidates. I'm not sure about the origami. They would probably have difficulties with the origami. But they would be a good candidate, yes.
Yeah, bears are Russians. They're Russian bears.
Russian bears, yes, and it would be perfect, yes. There was actually somebody, when they were doing these studies, there was there was some suspicion that it was something sort of symbolic Russian, you know, that was sort of a sending bears into space because the Russians are sending bears, and so it was this Russian, somebody was coming, it was a race to send the first bear into space, which is, I'm here to say, it's not true.
Yeah. Plus, bears can recycle their urine. So you don't have to get up three times during it. I mean, that would be ideal.
Yes, the bear, I know.
Even
on
Earth, if they could figure out how they do that.
I want to learn how to do that.
Yeah. And then, you know, the usual things about, at some point, some of us are going to be living in space or living on other orbs, orbiting orbs of various types or asteroids, what have you. And then the usual things that we do are much more difficult. And the classic one, of course, is the toilet, which is, you know, I don't know if the Russians have mastered that, but at one point, didn't the NASA came up with a wearing blender that you sit on?
It was a toilet that had a blender blade, basically, and it would you turn on the blade, and the blade was disconcertingly, it was like 6 inches from your anatomy. So, you know, you had to be a little careful.
Yeah.
It would sort of macerate the stuff. It would, well, puree, probably a better verb, puree. It would puree, and it would fling it onto the sides of the toilet. But the problem is then it was exposed to the vacuum of space, and it would freeze. But little bits would they'd break off, and then you had these little bits flying around, and it's zero gravity, remember. So every now and then one of them, as you floated off the toilet, it would follow you along into the spacecraft, so you had what was called an escapee. And
that's worse than dragging the toilet paper.
It's way worse.
Yeah. Have they mastered that yet, or they should be thinking about these things?
No, there's still a rear-view mirror on the space shuttle toilet, so you can check to make sure nobody's coming.
A rear-view mirror on the toilet?
There is. I saw it on the mock-up. They've got a little space shuttle toilet training room at the Johnson Space Center.
Did you go through any of this training yourself?
I sure did.
Yeah?
Yeah,
what did they, what'd they make you do?
Well, the most humbling experience is something called the positional trainer. Mm-hmm. This is a device. It's basically a toilet bowl with a video camera in it pointing toward you, towards your anatomy, and then it's a closed circuit TV, and the monitor is right there on the wall to your left. So
and they must enjoy that in the booth, I bet.
You do hope that there's only the one monitor when you're sitting there.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah, don't tell me that.
That's online. I've seen it.
Oh.
You look very good, actually. Surprising.
It's an unusual, it's a view that you've never had before. Something, you know, you have quite an intimate knowledge of, but you've never really seen.
And what is this training exactly?
Okay, the training is, the space toilets have a much smaller opening. It's only like 4 inches in diameter, so aim is important. And your angle of approach is important because you're not sitting down, you're just hovering in close proximity, and you got to make sure you're. It's sort of a docking maneuver, you know.
Well, a lot of women do that already. They actually don't sit on it; they hover over it.
They hover, and you can't be in this case spraying the seat or doing it. If you got your number two situation, you're at risk of plugging up the air holes. I mean, a space toilet, it's like a shop vac. It's airflow.
Can we talk about something else now? I mean, this is the only training you did was on the toilet?
No, I did some other things, but this one is more entertaining.
Well, for you, I don't know. I've heard about enough of these space toilet anecdotes. I don't know. It makes you not want to go. I mean, in space. I can't imagine going into space. I don't know. They say space tourism now is going to be a big deal. And Branson, I know, is working on something. And there's some group in Barcelona now that's saying they're going to have a hotel, orbiting hotel. And
you wouldn't want to go?
Going on a cruise is bad enough because you're stuck with all these people, you know, while you're on the boat for a week or 2 weeks or whatever. You know, but in orbiting in space and you can't leave. You can't go on the fantail or something, you know.
Well, that's true.
You're stuck with these people in close proximity.
Well, I think they'd be smart to sell just a weekend visit. Because then,
suborbital, I could maybe do, you know.
Yeah, you should just try one of those zero gravity flights. You don't even need to go into space. The most fun part is the zero gravity, and you can do that.
Yeah.
for $5,000.
No, if I get up too fast, I get that. If I get up out of a chair too fast, I get that same thing. You know, your brain floats up and then crashes. So, all right, so there's no more right stuff. And did you do any other training besides the toilet stuff? What did they make you do? They put you on the centrifuge and whip you around? Or
I didn't get whipped around, no.
No.
No, that sounds, seems, I'm, no, I didn't want to do that. Mm. Let's see, what else did I do? I was up in the Arctic. They were doing there's an island up there that's looks a lot like the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing a simulated two rover expedition, because when we were going to go back to the moon, there was going to be 2-week-long expeditions, you know, to collect samples and do science, and you'd have these rovers that were very much like little RVs. They even had cup holders. There were 2 cup holders. Isn't it? I thought that was just
on the moon rover.
Yeah, on the moon rover, yeah, yeah. There were little RVs where it was a pressurized environment, and they had a little, you know, you could heat up food. They were so cute. They were like these little cute, adorable RVs. But I've spent time on an RV with my in-laws and my family, 8
yeah.
people, and
it's not that cute.
2 weeks would be a little too much for me.
Yeah. And, you know, these guys who actually landed on the moon, I mean, they didn't know whether he'd be able to stick a flag on the moon's surface, right? This was a major
This was a major undertaking. We're talking months of planning.
Yeah. Because why? They didn't know how if the flag would... The flag wouldn't unfurl.
Well, they thought, yeah, okay, there's no atmosphere, there's no breezes on the moon,
right.
So that's going to look really undramatic and unpatriotic to just have this, you know, inglorious droop. So they had to add a telescoping crossbar so that it isn't actually a flag. It's sort of a small patriotic curtain up there.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that in all likelihood, it's not even standing anymore, because they had no idea when they went to the moon how much dust there was. Was it 2 inches? Was it 2 feet? Could you
mm-hmm.
even plant a flag in that stuff, because no one had been there?
Right.
It went down about 6 inches, and it was barely standing. And Neil Armstrong has speculated that when the ascent module took off, the blast just knocked it over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably lying in the dust.
Well, the Chinese are going to trash it, you know that.
Chinese trample
it. It's good as replaced anyhow. And the same thing for the golf shots. It's hard to figure out how to hit a 9.
Yeah, the golf. Yeah,
and that kind of rough, you know.
Yeah, it's not an ideal golf course
no.
situation, no.
Well, it's a very fun book, and Packing for Mars is what it's called. It goes through all these studies, basically, of what you have to do to live in space, and something we should be thinking about if we're going to, you know, start doing this little tourism thing. Mary, I want to thank you.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Very enjoyable. Mary Roach, ladies and gentlemen, Packing for Mars. All right. Life in the, or voiding in the void, I guess it would be, as much as anything else. Yeah, right. Okay.
Space is the place.
Space is the place, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you do it? Would you go up to a...
I don't know.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah. I don't like being cramped.
Yeah. I probably won't live long enough. So, you know.
Yes, you will.
By the time they get to where it would be comfortable to do it.
Well, they can put your remains in space, too. That's a big thing.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I could get frozen.
Yeah.
And,
if you have any remains, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll have some remains.
This is getting morbid, man. First, talking about the
toilets, now like the remains.
I know. All right, music-wise here, what do you got for us?
This is a little more down to earth. This is called the Great Pumpkin Waltz.
You know, Jim, it seems to me we should probably go to the town of the week.
We probably should.
Because, you know, we've been pushing this off for about 2 months. If you like it.
Yeah.
Here's Jim Packard with our town of the week.
You can't go much further north in the United States than the seacoast town of Barrow, Alaska. Barrow is the economic, transportation, and administrative center for the North Slope Borough. Barrow takes its name from Point Barrow, named in 1825 for Sir John Barrow of the British Admiralty.
Huh.
An important historical feature in the area is the Pigneek Archaeological Site, containing 16 dwelling mounds of a culture which is thought to have existed around 500 A.D. Since the 1940s, the U.S. military has played an influential role in developing the Barrow area, including construction of the Distant Early Warning, or DEW line, exploration in the National Petroleum Reserve, along with the building of the Naval Arctic Research Lab. Ilisagvik College is the northernmost accredited college in the country. The Inupiat Heritage Center in Barrow tells the story of these people and the bowhead whale which they hunted. Barrow is one of the world's largest Eskimo settlements, with well over half of the 5,000 residents being natives. Local residents still practice the traditional parts of their culture, with subsistence hunting, but sleds and sled dogs are being ousted by snowmobiles. There's a memorial at the Barrow Airport for Will Rogers and his pilot Wiley Post, who were killed in a plane crash near there in 1935. Traditionally known as the place where snowy owls are hunted, it's our town of the week, Barrow, Alaska.
Oh. Thank you, Jim Packard. And you are Jim Packard.
Yes, I am.
I don't care what anyone else says. You are. Well, we got some online here. Lyle's been dialing rather frantically. And we got the mayor.
Excellent.
How about that? Bob Harcherek, the mayor of Barrow, Alaska, to fill us in on some of the things that we're missing here. Hi, Mayor.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing fine, thank you.
That's good. It's still a little bit early out there, huh?
Oh, it's about 8:30.
Oh, that's 20 not.
20 after 8 this morning.
That's not. You've been up for a while, right?
About 2 hours.
Yeah, what you been doing?
Trying to catch up on some of the work I didn't get done this week.
Oh, yeah, really? On Saturday? You got to work on Saturday. That's not right.
Well, I've got to cover my butt somehow. I got to keep ahead of my staff.
Yeah. So we were talking a little bit about Barrow, Alaska, and what did we get wrong so far, Bob? Mayor?
Pardon?
What did we get wrong so far? Did you hear anything that Jim said about Barrow?
No, I didn't.
Oh, he didn't. Okay.
I just passed in, so I didn't get any of it.
Oh, okay. Well, is it the terminus of pretty much of the road up there in Alaska for the?
Well, actually, the terminus of the road is Prudhoe Bay. We have no roads connecting us to any other community.
Oh, you have no roads?
No, we have 28 miles of roads within the community and out in the gas field, but we have no roads connecting us anywhere.
How do you get anywhere? You got to fly, huh?
Either fly by boat in the summer, snow machine in the winter.
Snow machine in the winter. So how far is it in the nearest connecting road then from you?
Let's see, a couple hundred miles.
Wow. Can a Prius get over it? Or?
No, I don't think so.
Not many Priuses probably up in your neck of the woods.
I haven't even seen one.
What do people pretty much drive? An Arctic Cat?
For snow machines, Ski-Doos and Arctic Cats, Polaris.
Yeah.
Most of the trucks are Fords or Dodges.
Yeah. Well, here's a chance to talk up Barrow, Alaska. And Jim gave us a little bit of a brief history, the background, and so forth. But what's happening today in Barrow, Alaska, these days, I mean?
Well, let's see. There's a interscholastic at the high school. There's a tournament with four schools being present. That starts this morning.
Uh-huh.
Middle school has a basketball tournament that starts this morning. Probably will go to about 10 o'clock tonight.
Yeah. You got to go to all those as mayor?
Well, I don't have to, but I'll put in a courtesy visit. Besides, I like working with kids.
Yeah.
I spend all my free time doing that.
Yeah.
What free time I have.
You don't seem to have much free time, huh?
No. And also, there's a lot of Halloween activities tonight. There's a haunted house. There was a little debate on whether we should hold, whether the city should declare Halloween celebrations for tonight or tomorrow night.
Uh-huh.
But in Barrow, you know, we live in harmony up here. The community has had to live together and survive for the past 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's carried on into the modern culture.
Yeah. How many thousand years?
A couple thousand.
Wow,
about 2,000 or so of the people have lived in this area.
Yeah, but you're just responsible for the last 16 months.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, that's good. That's a good ratio. Yeah, because everybody knows each other, right? I mean, there's no place to go. You sort of have to. You can't really mudsling.
That is true. You have to live with your friends and neighbors, whether you like them or not.
Yeah. What is the weather up there now?
Right now, it's about 18 degrees. It's about 25 mile an hour wind. Mm-hmm. Wind chill of about 5 degrees.
Yeah, that's the same as here.
And we have about. No, it's not quite that, is it?
Yeah, it's the same as Wisconsin, pretty much.
We have about 6 hours of daylight right now.
That's about what we have, too. Not that much different, really.
And by November 17th, we start 67 days of total darkness.
Yeah. But that you've lived there all your life, right, basically?
No, I've only lived up here 33 years.
Oh, just 33. Okay. So that's not that long. You're not an old-timer then, really.
Well, I'm not a chichaco either. I'm more of a sourdough. I've been up here and pretty much gotten accepted. I came up here to start a college. Started college 30 years ago or so. And,
really? What college did you start?
Illustrative College. It's right now a fully accredited community college.
Excellent.
And operating very smoothly.
Yeah. Wonderful. Are you still involved in that, too, or maybe you can't because you're mayor?
No, I'm tangentially involved, but I don't have any active involvement.
Yeah.
I have more too many things on my plate right now.
Yeah. And then have you married and raised a family and all that sort of thing, too? Or?
Yes, I have.
Yeah? How's that going for you?
I fell in love more than 30 years ago. I have a family of 3 and about 7 grandchildren.
Excellent. Have they all stayed in Barrow, or they?
Right now, 6 of the kids are in Barrow.
Mm-hmm.
My one son's a pilot. He flies out of Kotzebue and comes home when he can.
Mm-hmm.
My other daughter is getting her degree in Missouri. But the rest of my family's here, and most of my grandkids are here.
Fantastic. Well, you must be doing something right, Bob. I mean, Your Honor.
It's a great place to live.
Yeah.
It's a great place to raise kids.
Sounds fantastic. And if now people, as far as tourists and so forth, getting to Barrow might be a little hard to get there, but when would be a good time of year to come and catch Barrow?
Well, anytime from April through August. Mm-hmm. Pretty decent weather. If they come in April and May, they can observe the whaling activities, whaling celebrations, and in June, we have a lot of Oriental tourists that come up in the dead of winter to see the Northern Lights. Some people will camp out in the dead of winter in order to get pregnant. It's supposed to be auspicious in some of the cultures.
Is that how you do it?
That's how I've been told they come up. Well, why they come up, yes.
So if you camp out in the dead of winter in Barrow, Alaska, you will get pregnant? Is that what you're saying?
Under the Northern Lights.
Oh, that makes for fertility, I guess.
Evidently.
Yeah. Is that how you did it? I mean, with your family?
All my kids were born... Well, they were conceived in the darkness. Let's put it that way. It wasn't much to do.
A shot in the dark there with Mayor Bob Harachek. Well, Mayor Bob, I want to thank you. I know you got stuff to do, and we don't want to hold you up because the city must run.
I appreciate it, sir.
Yeah.
I'll listen to this interview in about 3 hours.
Okay. It was very nice to speak with you, Mayor.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Mayor Bob Harachek, ladies and gentlemen. Barrow, Alaska. How about that? And no roads that lead anywhere else.
Right.
That'd be an unusual feeling. That'd either make you feel really kind of...
Claustrophobic.
That's one outcome.
Mm-hmm.
But you could actually like that.
Oh, that's true. You could be liberated and free to go to the outdoors.
Discipline through freedom. The freedom of discipline through liberty.
Yeah.
Or whatever Lombardi said. Something like that. You're all dressed up here. Are you cold or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Should we could turn up the heat or something? Maybe the heat's not even on. We might still have the AC because you're warm. You're comfortable. So it's all about you, really. All right. Well, what else do you need? Excuse me just a second. Do you have other needs that we could meet here?
And not here.
How about in space? Have you thought about that?
Never thought about doing it in space, no.
No, all right. Let's talk about that. Would you... What are you... You get even hotter now, huh? Would you consider going on a space trip?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'd like that.
You would?
Yeah, I think.
Really?
Have you done anything, any suborbital flights or any high atmospheric things?
No. Not that I remember.
Oh, okay.
So you're an adventurous type.
Yes.
How is your aim?
How is your aim, the young man asks. Is he related?
Yes, that's my nephew.
Say something like that.
Yeah, he'll pay for it later, though.
Because you're driving or what?
No, John's driving, which is even worse.
And you are?
A Jill Brinkley.
Where are you from, Jill?
Evansville, Indiana.
Evansville, Indiana! What brings you to these parts?
It's my sister's birthday. It's her 60th birthday, and this is her present.
This is a present?
Yes. Yeah.
What did you ask for? And...
I've always wanted to come to the show because I've listened to you for a long time.
Well, I think we've gotten you over that one, huh? You can put that away now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's wonderful. I love it. I've always pictured you as looking like Jack Lemmon in The Apartment.
I look more like The Apartment than I do Jack Lemmon, to tell you the truth. Boy, that was the best movie of all time, though, wasn't it?
Great movie. Yeah. That's always what I saw in my mind when I watched, when I listened to you.
Now that you're looking at me, what do you see?
Oh, you're wonderful. I love you.
No, but seriously, what?
I don't know. Who do you look like?
Well, who am I supposed to look like? Why does, you know, you don't have to look like someone.
George Clooney, maybe?
George Clooney, yeah. Or Rosemary, a little Rose. Well, happy birthday, though. What do we have for her birthday, Jeff?
Well, indeed, we've got some wonderful wines like the Domaine du Sac and the award-winning Prairie Fumé from the Waldersheim Winery. We hope you enjoy those.
Do you take the occasional sip of wine?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know. I suspect she does, too. So I don't say I know you. Okay, well, thank you for coming. Very nice. Thank you. We do have other people here as well, and including Marlene Venner from Genoa. Genoa. Okay, if it's in Wisconsin, it's Genoa. I'm sorry. If it's in Italy or someplace like that, it's Genoa. Can we let them have the Genoa over there? Okay. Who says, has the pumpkin shortage this year affected you? And if so, how? I don't feel affected by it. I don't know. It hasn't had a direct effect on my life. Has it affected your life?
Yeah, I can't buy pumpkin pie filling.
It still comes in cans, dear. They don't have cans of it anymore?
Shortage.
That's really shocking. Because Thanksgiving is not that far away. Well, now I'm upset. I wasn't before. Before you brought this up, now all I can think about is that there's going to be no pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving. What can you do substitute for pumpkin pie? Ritz crackers. Simulated pumpkin pie. You can make a fake apple pie with Ritz crackers.
Sweet potatoes. Make a sweet potato pie.
Sweet potatoes. Shortage. No, oh, can't find a sweet potato for love or money, no. What?
Pumpkin.
Well, if you can't find pumpkins.
You can find pumpkins, you just can't find them already canned.
Is that what, true?
Well, then why didn't you say that? You render pumpkins. You find a pumpkin and you render it. Undo Caesar, if necessary. I don't know, what do you do with a pumpkin? How do you do that?
Well, you just cook it, and then you take the seeds out and peel it and all that, and then put
you
season.
It whole, like you...
I do, because I can't cut it. And then you...
When you say cook it, what do you put it in a huge pot?
In the oven. So it makes it easier to cut. And then you season it with the usual, you know, cinnamon, sugar.
Yeah.
What else goes in?
Stuff.
Nutmeg. Stuff.
Yeah.
Nutmeg.
Yeah.
Milk.
Okay.
Yeah. Cloves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just Google a recipe and find it.
Yeah, Google it.
I got things to do here. You could Google all this. And thank you very much. It was very helpful.
Okay. I feel better now.
I was upset for a minute. Melissa Enoch, who's in environmental policy. I don't know. Do we have environmental policy? I didn't know we had one. Okay. Excuse me a second, sir. I'm just going to make a move. What is environmental policy? Let me ask you. Can I get you to stand up? And, no. How are you? How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good.
Great. So I work for the Department of Natural Resources.
Okay.
And I work on brownfields policy. So.
On who?
Brownfields.
How is brownfields?
Brownfields are good.
Yeah.
They're actually
is
bad.
Is that a gentleman or?
Brownfields are properties. They're properties. They're physical things.
Brownfields.
Brownfields. They're properties that are contaminated with soil or groundwater contamination.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So I work on policies involving those properties.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
And did you have, what?
The Monona Terrace was a
brownfield. We're standing on a brownfield?
We're standing on a brownfield.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Are we all right? Because it was landfill or something, wasn't it?
Yes, correct. That's a brownfield. And we're okay now.
Yeah.
The building is capping the contamination, so we're good.
Oh, thank goodness. We're capping the contamination even as we speak. And so do you have a question for me,
yes,
Melissa?
Yes, I do. So when somebody says they work in telecommunications, what does that mean?
Something to do with a telescope.
Right.
Telephone, teleportation, television. Just help me here, Jim.
I think you've nailed them all, Mike.
I don't get the communications part.
Okay. I don't either.
Yeah. Technically, I'm in communications, but I never took a single communications course.
Interesting.
Which is why I have a problem communicating.
I can see that.
Yeah, communications, I think, is just a catch-all phrase for... really not saying anything.
So when somebody studies telecommunications at school, they're just...
It's communications at a distance. Tele means at a distance.
Okay, got it.
It's shouting, basically. Oh! I was just getting to the brownfields part.
I understand, Mike.
Thank you, dear.
Would have been fascinating.
Thank you for what you do. Thank God we're capping this contamination. Too bad we have a lot of good stuff here. We'll try and get...
Next
and
year.
Get to the rest of you for long. You know what, Jim? It's time to play the quiz, isn't it?
I think it's time
Since
to play
blew
the quiz,
that air
Mark.
Horn,
sure.
I can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
Here's a chance for you to win fabulous prizes simply by being fabulous. Before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate in the quiz. And, excuse me again. You're sitting in exactly the wrong place. A gangly guy like you, you know, likes to stretch out. That's okay. That's okay. I want you to be comfortable. So I get you to come down here if you would. Yes, the four disclaimers. And reading them today is...
Brian Perkins from Tempe, Arizona.
Brian.
The four disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own show. Number two. Tom Barrett is running for governor. I thought it was Tommy Bartlett. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Very well done. A little too well. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try the math and the quiz, a chance for you to win fabulous prizes. I think, dear, your hand was up first. And you're a little hard to ignore. So I think I do it at my own peril. Step down here if you would. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. And you are?
Rebecca Cowan.
Rebecca, are you from around here? Or?
I'm from Cedar Falls, Iowa.
Cedar Falls. All right. And Rebecca, one good reason you should play this quiz.
I got here this morning before everybody, including your crew.
Okay. She did.
Pick up at least from last week?
Yeah.
Sounds like a good reason to me. Rebecca, step up here if you would to play the What Do You Know quiz. Yeah. So what vocation or vacation are you in?
I actually work in water quality for the Iowa Department of Natural Resources with our university in Northern Iowa in Cedar Falls.
Water quality? You should talk with the brownfields lady here. You guys have a lot to talk about.
We do.
Yeah. How is the water quality these days?
Depends on where you're looking.
I guess that's true. That's true of all fields, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
It is.
I think pretty much. And when did water quality come into the picture?
Oh, about 7-8 years ago. Yeah. I went to grad school and got into that.
Oh, so. Cool. Did you switch from something else?
I did. I was doing corporate marketing.
That's good, too.
It can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not for you, though, huh?
This is more fun.
Okay. Well, it's great to have you here. And are you in town for some big water quality meeting?
I'm actually here for one of my best friends from college's wedding is here tonight at Winona Terrace.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. So if we stuck around, is it a cash bar? Or?
I don't have a date tonight. You could be my date.
That'd be cool. I think we sort of hit it off. I felt something. I don't know if you did.
Sure.
Of course, I'm always feeling something, and you can't go by me.
This is an encore performance, so don't call today, but save your call for another time.
All right, why did the American woman vacationing in Newfoundland kill her husband? It was real justifiable, as any killing of a husband probably would be. Why did the American woman vacationing in Newfoundland kill her husband? I'm with the circumstances, and if you know, give us a call here. That was in the news recently. They were up there vacationing, I guess. Did you hear about this, Jim? You heard about it.
I did.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you heard about it. Chris is online from near St. Joseph, Missouri. Hey, Chris.
Hi, how you doing, Michael?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great.
Did you hear about this woman up in Newfoundland with her husband, and she killed him accidentally, she said, and apparently they bought it. What were the circumstances?
Boy, I remember hearing something about it, and it's not coming to me. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling anyway.
Yeah, happy to help.
Nice to touch base. Talk to you.
Yeah.
Hey, bye. Witt's on the line from Mount Nebo. Nebo?
Yeah, that's me.
West Virginia. How are you?
N-E-B-O.
Yeah. How's it going?
How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm very well.
Did you read about the story, Witt?
No, probably not. I'd say she killed him for either his fishing boat or his life insurance.
She killed him for his fishing boat, huh?
Oh, well, yeah, in Newfoundland, that's what they do.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
It is.
You're wrong, Witt, but it was good thinking. Thanks, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Yeah, I guess if you saw this in the news, then you would call up and say, oh, yeah,
that's right.
That was it.
Give me the answer. Yeah.
Adele, Nashville, you read about it?
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah, and it was?
A hunting accident.
Okay, she thought he was a?
Well, I think he had stopped to go to the bathroom behind a tree.
So she thought he was a whitetail?
What do they have in Newfoundland?
Bears?
Yes, she thought he was a bear.
Thought he was a bear, and he was a very swarthy gentleman. Okay. Adele, how are things out there? What do you do out there in Nashville, Adele?
I'm a forensic pathologist.
You are?
Yes,
okay.
I am.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool. We can talk more about that, I guess. But this is Rebecca.
Hi, Adele.
Hi, Rebecca.
She's your partner now, and you two work together.
All right.
Okay, you good with that? Jim Packard, what are those categories?
Categories of current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention. Science or odds and ends?
Adele, you pick the first one. What would you like?
How about people?
People, the kind of survey results here. Yes, indeedy. Do women or men under 30 think they're hotter? Didn't I ask this last week?
No.
Oh, okay.
You ask me that all the time.
I know. Not for a while, actually.
No, that's true.
Women or men under 30 think they're hotter?
Well, I would say men, obviously, but what do you think, Rebecca?
I think men, too.
Men, obviously. Yes, apparently that is obvious. I don't. It's close, though, 30% to 28%. They say they're between an 8 and a 10. I'm sort of maxed out, but at this point, it doesn't really matter.
One right, no wrong.
Okay. What's left there, Jimmy?
Current events, places, school, science, odds and ends.
Rebecca?
How about science?
Science. Is this going to be formal tonight? What do I have to wear?
I think you could go like that. Go
ahead. True or false? People who are introspective... The galaxy. Do Botox injections blunt the ability to recognize the expressions of others?
Is that your final question?
Yes. And I'm sticking with it.
Well, I would say no.
I'd have to agree. I don't think it. That... That's how it works.
Well, according to University of Wisconsin psychologists, yeah, the answer is yes. There's some effect where you cannot recognize expressions in others because you don't have them any longer. So
one right, one wrong.
Don't worry about it. We'll come back to that. What's left, Jim?
Current events, places, school, odds and ends.
Adele?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Okay. Don't worry about that. True or false? Ideally, you should wash your hands without rubbing them together. Ideally.
Probably, because then you'd avoid cross-contamination.
Ah.
That sounds good to me.
Yes, true. That increases, if you can... And if you figure out how to do that, would you let me know? That's a bigger one than the pumpkins, I think.
Two right and one wrong.
That'd be hard to do.
Yep.
What's left there, Jim?
Current events, places, or school.
Okay. Rebecca?
Current events.
What's the bride's name, just so I know?
Sheila.
Okay, so Sheila and...
And Shane.
Okay. What'd you say? Places?
Current events.
Current events, okay.
Right. I forgot
Sheila
to.
And Shane. I'm going to write it down because I was... Which side are you on? I'm on Sheila's side?
You're Sheila, correct. Okay. But I know Shane, too.
Okay, I'll say that. the undisputed winner of the Boy Scout Silver Buffalo Patch. Just received it, a rather famous individual. This is the highest honor you can get in the Boy Scouts, the Silver Buffalo. Who got it? Adele? Rebecca?
We don't get any choices.
No, this is in the news. You probably saw it.
Are there any hints?
Very famous individual. Not a poor man. Not a poor man.
Like Ted Turner or someone
Bill
like
Gay.
That?
Bill
Gay. Oh. He was a Boy Scout, wasn't he?
Oh, Ted Turner is a Buffalo aficionado, I think, too.
Yeah.
Need an answer.
Bill Gates, you're saying?
Bill Gates.
You're
How about Bill Gates?
Gates?
Yeah.
How about Bill
Gates?
Bill Gates. Highest award. Lindbergh got it. Walt Disney got it. The Silver Buffalo.
Our next live shows in Madison are November 10th and November 17th at Monona Terrace. Tickets at notmuch.com or by calling 608-262-2201. Wish you could enjoy What Do You Know every day? You can. Follow the fun on our Facebook page or go to the newly minted notmuch.com and play the brand spanking new online quiz. Plus, laugh throughout the week by following Michael on Twitter. His handle is @MyFeldman. Stay tuned. Coming up, Joe Montana. That's right, Joe Montana. Plus the What Do You Know quiz. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer, International. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass with Jim Packard announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know, Joe Montana explains what it's like to go through life with a famous moniker. Thanks for the memos and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Now, the man who says the promise to America is margarine, Michael Feldman.
Thank you, Jim Packard.
Yes, indeed, Mike.
And, you know, each week at this time, I read actual memos sent in by actual listeners so that they shall not perish from the earth. That's R goes there. And also other letters and communications of various types, including this one from Michelle Dodd, who says, I have nothing to ask. However, I would like to say that what I like to say that you make delivering my route more interesting, especially when people who watch me deliver the mail and see me laughing. Yes, the looks I get, but I say it's worth it. Thank you very much, you guys. Though one day, one of my trips back home to Chicago, I hope to make it up to see your show live. How awesome that would be. Thank you again, Michelle. Thank you, Michelle, and for doing what you do. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of route people.
We've got a lot of routes.
Yep. Paul Bobrowitz says, Dear Mikhail, You wax poetic on the extraordinary delights of the church ladies' pies because they use lard. I, too, once believed that only lard could make an excellent tasting pie and scoffed. Yes, scoffed at my wife's attempts to convert me to healthier pie crusts. See, that's an oxymoron. Well, a healthier pie, first of all.
Why?
It took her mastering an olive oil crust to make me a believer. Since then, I've learned to make this crust myself and taught the procedure. I tried that once, I think, with olive oil. It's not the same. It's no lard. Since then, I've learned to make this crust myself and taught the procedure to several of my siblings, and I'd welcome the opportunity to demonstrate, teach you to make this fantastically easy to put together, light, flaky, and delicious crust. See, that doesn't flake like lard. Nothing flakes like lard. Boy, there's a motto. Finally, I got a model after all these years. I'm willing to bet you'll be a convert as well. I've enjoyed your show since the early 80s. Wish it was repeated on Sundays. An avid fan and pie crust connoisseur, Paul Bobrowitz. I still think lard, lard, lard. You know, if they called it something else.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you feel all right about
it. Olive crust pie.
No. Linda Martin, thanks for featuring Holly Springs, Mississippi, and a town of the week feature a few weeks back. We drove there from Pensacola for the Hummingbird Festival at Strawberry Plains Audubon Center. This keeps coming up, the Hummingbird Festival. What a wonderful experience. We also met Miss Lois at the Marshall County Historical Museum and received a personal tour. Miss Lois is now legendary. Yes. She is a beautiful and gracious lady. One question, why didn't you call her last Saturday? She and 8,000 festival attendees were expecting you. Linda Martin.
Nice.
I didn't know I was supposed to. We spoke to her the week before.
Well, we weren't on last Saturday.
There's another reason. Sorry, misunderstanding. Yeah. Thank you. Weird food. Okay. I'm a grazer. Oh, okay. This guy is a grazer. Neighbors have probably witnessed me munching my daylily flowers. And I love to cook young milkweed shoots. Ooh. They are tender and almost like a mild asparagus. Also not poisonous, as has been proclaimed in the past. Have tried purslane, sheep sorrel, trout lilies, and other wild things. Trout lilies sounds good. I don't think any of these are weird, but they often bring funny looks. Well, thank you, foraging. Okay, no. Why did the Germans settle in Fredericksburg? Okay, I think maybe not. Yes, the Germans again in Fredericksburg, Texas. Mm-hmm. Revolutions in Germany were in 1848, not 1846. No. Okay, that's... Chorizo is never made from donkey meat. Now, I find that hard to believe, because I was told that the big deal about their chorizo in Mexico, where they make the actual chorizo, mm-hmm. is that they wait for a burro to die, and then there's chorizo for the following year, you know? If they have like a chorizo festival, and the burro is given his life. Well, he had a good life. And then that's actually a burro meat. Huh. But this guy, Pete here, says, never, nunca. If anyone is in such dire straits, they have to eat their donkey. Turning it into a delicious, spicy sausage would not be a high priority. Well, I would think it would be. Authentic chorizo is not limited to one location, but local variations are found throughout Latin America. In no place, is it made from donkey meat. It is almost universally made from spiced pork. If anyone told you it was made from donkey meat, they're either pulling your leg or are misinformed. You might want to correct this on one of your shows, since it's a common ingredient in Mexican dishes, and some Mexicans may find it offensive that they are being portrayed as jackass-eating yahoos.
I don't think that's what you were saying.
I think in my explanation there, I think the burro lived a good life, and nothing goes to waste. But I was just told that in Chorizo, the town of Chorizo, mm-hmm. in the province of Chorizo, in Mexico, I don't know if it's a province, that's actually how it worked. Authentic chorizo can now be found in most supermarkets under such brands as Banderita. Feel free to eat it in your huevos rancheros without fear of ingesting anything but 100% healthy pork. Well, eating a pig to you is better than eating a burro. That's all. You know.
Yeah.
So who's got misconceptions there?
We'll get Rick Bayless on the phone.
Yeah, Rick Bayless would know.
He could tell us.
I'm a little surprised. Here's the actual memo sent in by someone else. It's from Cleveland. Advertising Club. Actually, it's more of a paraphrase of a memo, but it's still pretty good. Here it goes. Years ago, the Advertising Club was an all-male organization. The women had their own club. They planned a joint meeting to encourage attendance. Each woman was to invite a man from the other organization. The Women's Advertising Club sent out a reminder of the meeting, adding, "Don't forget to bring your male member." Well, thank you for that memo. And where can they bring those, Jim, if they're bringing them?
They can send all of those memos to, yes. Thanks for the memos, Michael Feldman, Wisconsin Public Radio, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.
That rings a bell.
Or they can go to the website at whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, and they can post it there at our email address.
Yes, Joe Montana, we've got him, ladies and gentlemen, live from Milwaukee, where he lives. That's right, Joe Montana from Milwaukee, online right now. And hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How's yourself?
I'm really good, thanks.
A lot of people probably be surprised that Joe Montana actually lives in Milwaukee.
St. Francis, Wisconsin.
St. Francis, even better. That's even better. But so I can we assume that you are not the quarterback?
I'm not the quarterback.
But you
one of many Joe Montanas.
Are there many Joe Montanas?
There are. You know, I have my motorcycle service at the House of Harley here in Milwaukee, and there's three Joe Montanas in the system there.
There's three Joe Montanas just within your motorcycle service?
Yes.
Well, that's surprising.
I know. but, you know, there's also the Cuban Tony Montana.
So there's a Tony Montana.
Scarface.
So the Montana name, now, it's Austrian... Something.
No. My name is Sicilian.
It's what?
My family name is Sicilian.
Sicilian?
Yes.
But wasn't there Austrian in there, too?
No, Polish.
Polish. So it's Polish?
My mom was Polish. My dad was Sicilian. And the
How
Montana,
did that happen?
The Montana is strictly Sicilian on my side. But there's Hispanic in Spain, in Mexico, Italy.
So there are Joe Montanas all over the place.
There's Joe Montanas all over. In Lake Geneva, there's a lady, she pronounces it Dana, and it's Dana Montana, and she has the dancing horses. So there's a famous Montana.
This is a juggernaut. There's more, I really hadn't thought about it before.
Yes. It means mountain. And in the mountainous regions, I think people pick up on the name.
Yeah, apparently. And probably change their name to Montana from other things.
That's probably true, too.
Yeah. It would have been Joe Valley or something, then he moved, and suddenly he's Joe Montana. Is there any confusion here? Do you get any, as far as getting mail to Joe Montana?
No.
Not at all, huh?
No, once, in the article, it had mentioned that my wife and I, and my daughter, we were traveling from York, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. We... made reservations for Youngstown, Ohio, to stay at the Holiday Inn.
Sure.
And as we're driving into Youngstown, we see this office complex my wife pointed out to me. There was all these 49er banners and Super Bowl banners. And so then pulled around the corner, and it said Eddie DeBartolo Jr. Office Complex. Mm-hmm. We pull around the corner, and we go into the Holiday Inn, and they say, "Oh, Mr. Montana, you've been elevated to the executive suite." And... they didn't know, because at the time, Joe Montana was coming off the injury list.
Oh, yeah.
And Steve Young was doing really good.
Yeah.
So, Joe was trying to get out of his contract and coming in and out of Youngstown and staying at Eddie's Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
And they just didn't know who was showing up that day, and they might have been a little disappointed.
Did you decline the offer of the executive suite?
No, I took it.
You took it?
Yeah, I took it.
Were there other little, did they leave you little things in their trays of things? And
well, was 1992, 91, and my daughter was young, and, the cordless phones and cell phones weren't all that popular right then.
No.
And so we got into the suite, and we heard, loud shouting coming out of the bathroom, and we went in there, and my daughter's, there's a telephone in the bathroom, and that was one of the highlights of our trip.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool there, yeah. Right there. And they never found out. Did they notice that you didn't quite resemble the football player?
Oh, my wife brought that to their attention as we were checking in. Does this look like an athlete to you?
What do you mean by that, Joe?
Well, you know, I'm 5'10", and you know, and people have made that comment before. Oh, Joe, what's happened to you? I'm not quite.
You get that a lot, huh?
For whatever he is.
Has it ever done you any good other places, being this Joe Montana thing?
Well, I know my wife and I had gone to Cancun.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, the coach area was completely filled, and we were put into the first class section. Oh. We were the only ones in first class.
Oh.
And then apparently the pilot had asked the flight attendant, do we have people? Can you stretch out in first class on the flight back? She said, no, there's a couple there, Joe and Jacqueline Montana. And he went, you know, just, I won't take much of his time if I could just sit down and have a little conversation with him briefly. And so this is what she's telling me. And I said, I think he's going to be very disappointed. I'm a civil servant from Milwaukee. I'm not the Joe Montana he's thinking of.
Yeah.
And then he came out and he talked with us anyways. He was very nice and, you know,
well, that's
pleasant.
Cool. So if this happens, you don't disabuse the individual of the notion, because it's to everyone's benefit. I sometimes get a Marty Feldman thing.
Sure.
And I play along with it. So, you know, yeah, the hump's on the other side or whatever, you know.
Well, we in a car club that I belong to, we have a Jerry Rice.
Ah.
Yes.
It's a small world.
It is, because what made Joe Montana?
Yeah. Now, however, this statue that was sent to you by a famous Hungarian artist, it was a statue of Joe Montana, and ended up being sent to you in Milwaukee. Is that not the case?
Right. Well, the first letter that I received in, you know, 2006, it just, you know, it said that he didn't have, well, maybe I can find, I got that letter right here.
Oh, okay.
You know, it just says that.
Is it in Hungarian?
I will send this work to you free of charge, as I don't want to sell it to other people, and I don't have a place for it in my workshop.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I said, you know, I opened it up in front of my mailman because I said, I don't know anybody from Hungary. And I said, you know, what do I do? And he said, well, I don't know. You know, maybe it's a scam. And I thought, well, I'll ignore it.
Yeah.
So I did.
You ignored this? How can you ignore a statue?
You know, the thing is, it wasn't to come to me. You know, it was to go to Joe Montana, professional football player. So I
ignored
the letter.
Oh, you
ignored the letter. Then three registered letters came, and I didn't sign for any of those, so my mailman didn't leave them with me. Then November 21st of 2006, I'm not home. I'm probably walking my two bull mastiffs and Doberman.
Yeah.
And the doorbell rings. My wife goes to it. The mailman says, here, let me put this in your foyer. And he drops a crate off, and it's a good-sized crate. She didn't have to
sign. You have a foyer. That's pretty good, Joe. You're doing pretty good if you got a foyer.
And she didn't, didn't have to sign for anything. And, you know, I think she was shocked because, you know, she should have said, take it back. Well, then we opened it up. There it was. It was in pieces. The base was off. And the plate saying the artist's name and stuff was off of it.
Yeah.
So then I decided, well, rather than sending it back to him, I would try to contact Joe Montana. So I went to Price Sports Shop in Southridge Shopping Center here in the Milwaukee area.
Sure, Southridge.
Southridge. And talking to a fellow that, because I've got all Joe Montana's cards, that he'd help me track down cards that I was missing, I asked if he had an address that I could get a hold of Joe to let him know that something came for him.
Yeah, you think he'd have his address just because he has the cards there?
And he had it.
He said,
Oh,
my God.
These are not machined autographed names. These are actually from Joe Montana.
Oh, yeah.
Gave me, in Torrance, California, gave me his address. I wrote him three times, you know, maybe 2 weeks apart. Mm-hmm. The third time I wrote to him, I had three Joe Montana, you know, like his rookie card.
Oh, yeah.
So I and this one had bad borders on it. It wasn't...
Wasn't mint. Know, wasn't mint condition.
It wasn't. It was in mint condition, but just wasn't a perfect card.
Yeah.
I sent it, and I said, you know, I know I've written to you as a player with Notre Dame, with San Francisco, and the Kansas City Chiefs. I've heard nothing from you in the past. Maybe you'll write back to me now and send my card back to me with an autograph on it. And that, not snotty, but
no,
you know, just
no. That's a good approach. That's a good approach.
I want to hear from them.
Right.
And I didn't get the card back.
No, you didn't.
So now,
you kept
the
card?
There's a little peace of mind now that I've got this 200,000 somethings of a piece of bronze in front of me.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if it was euros. You know,
200,000 euros it's worth?
Yeah, well, it wasn't. It was 200,000. This is what Jim Stiegel from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel found out, that it's 200,000 Hungarian dollars, which is $968.
Yeah.
Is what he insured it for.
Okay.
But it didn't say Hungarian dollars, it just said 200,000. I'm thinking Europe, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't melt it down and make a card out of it or something. And
or put it on your bike. It would look good on the handlebars. Like Brando. Like Brando did, you know.
I've got one of those.
Oh, you do? Okay.
So that was it. And
all right, so you got this. Did you set up the statue and everything? I mean, is it?
Oh, I did, and it was, you know,
is it dull,
and I polished it, and I clear coated it, and I put it in the basement after a while. But prior to that, we were at Usinger's in Milwaukee.
Oh, for the sausage.
Like a year before this even happened.
Yeah.
And we're standing in line, and this gentleman in front of us is just ordering a ton of food.
Right.
So my wife and I in unison said, hey, we'd like to come to this party. He says, well, I'm just taking all this stuff back to Northern California. We don't have good sausages like this there. And originally I'm from the Milwaukee area, and I just live in Northern California now. As I've got to visit Northern California someday, especially with a name like Joe Montana, he goes, he's my next-door neighbor.
Holy
Joe God. Grows grapes, and on his property, I have the vineyard, and I make wine. I buy his grapes. So I try to track this guy down. I get a hold of...
What are the odds?
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm writing to him to say, would you... please knock on Joe's door and let him know that I have something that belongs to him. I tried getting a hold of the 49ers.
Yeah.
They didn't want to get involved.
No.
And so, you know, it's kind of at a dead end. And I did receive letters over the years from this gentleman.
The neighbor?
In Hungary.
From the neighbor? Oh, from
that
the artist.
He even sent me a letter wishing me a happy birthday.
Yeah.
And,
was it your birthday or was Joe Montana's birthday?
Well, who knows, because my birthday is June 7th and his is June 11th. So
this is uncanny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's Polish Sicilian, same as I'm Polish Sicilian.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, too.
You know, maybe it's a parallel world or something.
Good, a parallel universe, yeah.
Yeah.
So this guy, this artist, Nemeth Ferenc is his name, right?
Yes.
And have you been able to communicate with the artist and
no, and
Jim, he doesn't speak English.
Jim Stiegel in his article said that he had called and you know Nemeth had answered the telephone and was having trouble communicating with him. So then he emailed and then there was you know broken communication that way.
Yeah.
But now that I got this latest letter just this month here from you know. Hungary, and he says that
Nemeth,
right? And he said all of his works were going to go to the United States Sports Academy in Alabama.
Oh,
and so Jim Stiegel called the Sports Academy in Alabama, and she says, "Oh yeah, he's a real live artist, and he's going to. I think they're in transit right now, but 127 pieces is.
Oh, there go the dogs.
You know,
someone's at the door."
I might be talking too loud, and I got my dogs upset.
It's probably the mailman with another statue.
The mailman already came. And it's not the same mailman. No, oh. We have a lady.
Oh, okay.
It's a male person.
Yeah.
So.
So
before the dog started barking, I forgot what we were talking about.
You say this Alabama sports.
That he in transit now are all pieces of his art.
Yeah. And, are they all going to come to you is the question.
Pardon?
Are they all going to come to you is the question.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm thinking of sending mine to Alabama.
Ah.
Yeah, it's a piece of art thing that I would never personally buy.
Yeah.
I don't have it in my family room. I don't have it in my front room. It's not even attractive to me.
Yeah, no.
It's something I didn't know what to do with over all these years.
It's good.
I've been waiting maybe another contact with Montana. It belongs yeah. with him. But,
yeah. It's for the basement. It's fine, though.
It's for the basement. It's real fine.
Put hats on it or something like that. It's
I just have it sitting on a little table down there.
How would you describe the style itself? Is it modern art or?
Very modern.
Yeah.
It's abstract. There's no face. There's a helmet that it actually looks like an alien. it's a Gumby figure. But then the very first contact he had with me with the very first letter, there was a, you know, people can go to his website. It's www.fivestop.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they can see what was in the paper, the bronze statue I have, and all his other statues. Some of the people that he claims have his work mm-hmm. are Carl Lewis, the Olympian,
sure.
Michael Schumacher, the race car driver,
oh.
the Prince of Wales, the Duchess of Cornwall,
oh.
princes in Spain and Monaco.
And they're all the same sort of Gumby style?
They all are. Except, you know, some are Gumby race cars, others are Gumby horses. you know, but they're pretty much the same.
So you don't, it's nothing you would have purchased?
No.
For display purposes?
No, it's nothing that I even show, you know, friends. A very close friend of mine the other day said, I never even knew you had this thing. And,
yeah. It's in the basement.
It's in the basement.
Yeah. Well,
it should be in the garage because that's where my friends come over and we hang out in the garage.
Sure, with the bikes and all that.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Joe, it's an amazing story, and it's not done yet. There's another chapter coming in the whole Joe Montana story.
Yeah, I appreciate you, you know, helping me. You know, there was one thing that Jim didn't put in the newspaper article, and some of the email responses to the article questioned, you know, things that were going on. One was 6 or so months after the delivery of the crate.
Yeah.
I got a overseas postal inquiry as to was the crate even delivered to me.
Oh.
I went down to our post office downtown in Milwaukee here. I had asked if I could see a postal inspector because I thought maybe there's a scam going on here, $200,000, and he sent it to the wrong person thinking this guy would say, no, I never got it, and then collect the $200,000 something insurance that he insured it for.
The $900, so, really.
Yeah, so they sent me across the street to an office building. On the first floor was security guards, private security guards, and I asked to see somebody with the postal inspector. He rang upstairs. I got this very rude receptionist, and I said, I'd like to see talk to a postal inspector. You just don't come down here and insist on talking to a postal inspector.
Yeah. Did you tell her you were Joe Montana?
I was
they would have bust you right up there.
She hung up on me.
Oh,
well, she only hung up on me after she told me, go to Chicago, because I told her that I got something in the mail I didn't request. She said, go to Chicago and see the fraud unit, and hung up the phone on me.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah. So
did you get her name?
No, but, you know, she's, I would think that she might not be even working there anymore with that attitude. But
did you go to Chicago?
I've been to Chicago many a times, but I never had the extra minutes to track down the fraud unit of the postal.
Yeah, yeah, no. And it shouldn't be your responsibility, Joe.
You know, yeah. And
you're obviously a nice guy. And
to
just...
a show at McCormick Place or, you know, you know, the, you know, Naval Exchange at Great Lakes or something like that. So a lot of times I'm nowhere around where the post office would even be.
And imagine if your name had been Brett Favre by coincidence. All the stuff you would have been receiving all these years. Some of it you wouldn't want to receive.
I know. Well, and people like Brett Favre, who every card company makes dozens of cards for them every year, I would have gone bankrupt trying to collect every one of them. Joe Montana was pretty much tops.
Yeah.
Towards the end of his career, some of the other card companies got in on it, but it was pretty easy collecting Joe's cards.
Well, you've got that. You'll have that.
Yeah.
That's good. Joe, I want to thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks.
I wish you the best on this.
I showing the interest in this. And if you have any suggestions other than mine is to send it down to Alabama.
Yeah. No, I'm hoping Joe is going to come through here. No, the
I
other,
hope so, too.
The other Joe.
And
I think he owes you that
all
much.
Along.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Montana, ladies and gentlemen. In St. Francis, Milwaukee. Okay, I think we cleared that up, finally.
I don't know, I'm thoroughly confused now.
No, it's been something that's been bothering me for quite a while.
I wonder if you tried to look inside of it. Maybe there's something, who knows?
No, this guy's a legitimate Hungarian artist, apparently.
Well, I'm sure he is, but I mean, he sent all his other stuff to all these other people like who didn't ask for it, too.
And try to collect money on it.
You're having to send it to the King of England. Oh, yeah, my stuff's with the King of England.
Well, the Prince of Wales took his in.
Well, do we know that, though?
No. Why are you grilling me about this? I have nothing to do with it. But Joe's a nice guy, and he deserves
nice
a little
guy.
Better treatment than that.
Yeah.
I think.
He certainly does.
Okay. All right, there it is. There you have it. I'm sure we'll hear more about this. Something tells me we'll hear more about this as the weeks progress.
Yes.
All right, then. So how about a little music here? Anything to go with this epic song?
Not really. This is a tune I wrote, but it doesn't really go with this, but we'll play it anyway. It's called Sunset on Foster Avenue.
Sounds good.
Once again... Michael Feldman.
Thank you. That got a good response. Because you didn't get the applause sign. Turn that applause sign. He's messing with me. He's messing with the kid. Who is your favorite Backstreet Boy? Well, you know I like them all. Where is Matt? You still listening to the Backstreet Boys, Matt? Where are you? Matt, you don't listen to the Backstreet Boys, do you? No, it's been a while. Are they still living? Some of them, I think, are in retirement homes now, aren't they? They're Backstreet old men now. I like that one was okay. I didn't care for the other guy, though. I don't know. My daughter listened to them years ago. But... Let's see. We are on Amtrak public radio tour. What?
Ooh.
There's an Amtrak public radio tour?
Why do we know about
there's
this?
There's an Amtrak, number one. And there's a public, can I get you a stand-up? So you are on an Amtrak public radio tour?
Well, we take Amtrak from Michigan to Chicago, went to, wait, don't tell me. Then got in.
Don't tell me.
wait, don't tell me. Then came to Milwaukee, and Amtrak doesn't come to Madison. So we had to.
Columbus, I don't know what's going on there.
Well, we tried that, but then in Columbus they said, well, you got to take a bus to Milwaukee.
who did you talk? It was that same lady in.
And then we were going to go leave here and go to see Garrison tonight, but Garrison is $70.
$70.
And it's $10 here, so obviously we came to this show.
This is cost effective.
Yeah.
We call it cost effective public radio. Well, you're wearing a wait.
Oh yeah. Well, I didn't get here in time to get one of your shirts today. But I will on the way out, I promise.
Please. Okay. And wear it to their show.
And the next time I go, I will.
You said You said, decided to see What Do You Know instead of Garrison. Good choice. Well, obviously. But it was a money thing, right?
Yeah. Well, partially money, yeah.
David?
Yes.
Thanks, David, very much.
He's on the Amtrak tour. Amtrak public radio tour. So then where else can you go then on the Amtrak public radio tour?
Well, we're headed back today.
Back to?
Key Wade, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Anything going on there?
Not a thing. Not a thing. That's why we're here.
Desperate. The man is desperate. Why do you sound just like my Uncle Charlie? And are we related? It's a two-part question. Lynn Hodgman, Prairie Village, Kansas. Where are you? Hi, Lynn. Can I lean over you? Would you mind? Okay. How are you?
I'm just fine. I'm just delighted to be here because the very first time I heard you on the radio, I said, how did Uncle Charlie get on the radio?
Yeah. Do you like your Uncle Charlie?
He's a dear. He's a dear. But you look more like Jack Lemmon than he does.
She doesn't think so.
I thought she'd appreciate that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uncle Charlie, and what does Uncle Charlie do?
Uncle Charlie's a retired attorney. You have a more fun life.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You like to joke around, or?
The whole family does. That's why I thought we might be related.
Yeah.
Because my dad's listening in heaven or wherever he is, and he's with you all the way.
Oh.
Well, do your people go back to Kiev or around there?
Yeah. Kiev and Hamburg, Germany, both. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
It could be then.
Both sides. You know, Germany and Russia, both sides.
Yeah. We were caught in between both of them. Yeah.
Yeah, weren't we? That's why we're here.
Yeah, Lynn, very nice.
Yes, very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Uh-huh. Let me hand you my microphone. Could be related. It could be. Could be from the same shtetl originally. What question would you have asked Obama last Tuesday? Is that you? Right there? Or one? Hi. Yeah. Did you go?
Did
you like it?
It was great. Yeah.
Good. My daughter went too, and now she's signing up for something. I don't know what. She won't do it, but she's signing up anyway.
Good for her. Yeah, I got to sit in a window. It was pretty cool.
Sit in a window of what?
Yeah, it's kind of behind the stage, so we got really good seats, but we were in a window.
Yeah.
That was
a speech. That was good. But what I asked Obama, you know what I asked him about? It was the working conditions. Having to work in the same place you live. I don't see how you do it. I know there's two wings and everything on the White House and all, and one's executive or whatever, you know. But, you know, still, you know, your wife and your mother-in-law and your kids are, and you can't get, huh?
You said it's public housing.
Yes, it's
public housing, of course. Well, that threw me off. I got no more feeling. But, you can't go to the office or your, you know, little pied-à-terre. You used to have a pied-à-terre, you know. He did. It's French, you know. What do people in Green Bay pack? Well, I've heard various answers to that one, and I don't think I'll go into my... Where is Rob? Rob is not from here, of course. Huh? Yeah. Why do you ask, Rob? Packers fan, are you?
Vikings fan.
You're... Oh. Yeah. Why do those guys wear helmets to the game? What's that?
You guys want Favre back, feel free.
No, we don't want him back. Why do you think we got rid of him, man?
Good call.
So, originally, what did they pack in Green Bay?
Meat.
Huh?
Meat.
Beets?
Meat.
Meats?
Meat.
Meats? Meats? Oh, okay, meats.
I had no idea. It's good to know.
I thought you meant weapons at first. You know, what are they like? What are they packing in there? You know, that's okay. All right. Nice to have you here, despite all that. Jang Ho Cha, is it?
Yep.
Yes? First time I've been in Madison in 47 years.
Oh, nice. Wow.
What should I do here? I think you should figure out where you've been the past 47. Can I get you to stand up? How are you?
Good.
Nice to see you. 47 years, so you weren't overly impressed, so you didn't immediately rush back.
Yeah, it's changed a lot since I was two.
Oh, you were 2 years old. So you were brought here.
Right. Yeah. So I'm here back with my mom and my sister.
Have any crib memories of Madison?
Oh, yeah, very good memories. That's why I wanted to come back.
Yeah. What do you remember?
That we needed to move away from here, but I'm not sure exactly why that was. So we're here to find out.
Anyone have the answer to that? Why you actually had to move 47 years ago from Madison? Do you know?
Well, we
my husband and I both got a doctorate, and we had a very good offer from Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island.
We could have matched that here at the UW. Brown Schmrown, I say.
And he was, my husband and I met here. I am Korean.
Yeah.
We met.
Not here. Any longer, though, huh? Formerly Korean.
We met here, we married, and both got our degree, got our son and our daughter. And now this is coming home.
Yeah, coming home, really.
Yeah, and it is.
But it took 47 years, is what we're wondering about. I mean, how horrible was it?
It is mind boggling because all this were not here when we were here. It's just, student union was right, a little building. Alongside
it was a Quonset hut 47 years ago. It had metal roofing.
We have very tender spot in my heart, and my children wanted to bring me back.
Oh, that's really sweet. Jim Packard. That's impolite, Jim.
I know it's impolite. I waited as long as I could, Mike.
Hi, dear.
How are you?
Hi.
Good. And your name is?
Chongja Cha.
In what field are you in?
Biochemistry.
Oh, biochemistry. Yeah. You still doing that?
Yes. I'm retired, but I'm still doing it.
Still dabbling in biochemistry. It's hard to give up something like that. I keep my hand in it as well.
I'm enjoying it.
Very nice to have you here. And to commemorate your homecoming here, Jim has got some wonderful things here.
Well, we happen to have some special wines from the Waldersheim Winery, including the Domaine de Sac and the award-winning Prairie Fumée that we'd be glad to send along.
Yeah, a little wine, okay?
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Very nice to meet you. Thank you for joining. Thank you. Nice to see you. Thank you again. Dear, good to see you. All right, we got to do the quiz thing here because, it was good last time, but, we can do that again. Without even thinking about it. So if you want to play the What Do You Know quiz, this is your chance to do it. Isn't it, John?
Yes, it is.
And a lot of people will leave here
thinking,
who wants
to play?
Why didn't I play the What Do You Know quiz? Why didn't I? This gentleman here is not going to think that because he obviously is geared up.
I'm geared up, yes.
He's
hyped up, geared up.
Whatever it is.
Tweaked up.
He's up. He's up. That's the important thing. And you are?
Bill Welliver.
Bill, and how are you? From around here?
Yes, I live in Madison.
Madison, and how did you get here then? You go down to university or...
No, I took the Beltline.
The Beltline.
Had to go by the Dairy Expo.
Oh, did you go? Are you in the dairy business?
No, I'm a retired teacher.
Just an affection for cows, or?
No, just you live in Madison, you gotta like cows.
Okay. One good reason, Bill, you should play this quiz.
My wife thinks I know all the answers.
Wow, your wife thinks you know all the answers. That's unique. Come on down here, Bill. Fresh from the Dairy Expo. That's going on all this weekend here. This is a big deal at Dairy Expo. Yes. No, it's okay, don't worry about that. It's not a real emu.
Okay.
Let me just put him over there. You can wear those headphones if you want to, but you don't have to. It's not required, as we say. So what did you see there at the Dairy Expo that
impressed? We didn't really stop. We just wanted to drive by and look at it. See how big the crowd was.
Oh, just a crowd sizing thing?
Yes.
Yeah. And was it a big crowd?
Lots of cars.
Yeah.
Lots of people walking around to go there.
That bull semen is a real draw.
I bet it is.
Yeah. We can't. It's a little pricey.
You got to break into ABS out on the interstate.
Yes, ABS is famous with their famous signs out there.
Yes.
I'd like to write their signs. That'd be cool. That'd be a challenge, anyhow.
That's pretty clever.
Yeah. But what field are you in?
I taught high school physics and math.
Physics and math, a physics teacher.
Yes.
Yeah. And how is that? Now you're retired from that, huh?
Yes, I am.
You miss it?
I miss the human interaction.
They weren't humans, they were students. They were high school students.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
That's entirely different. Did you make your class interesting, physics?
I tried.
Yeah. Because it's a fascinating subject, but it's kind of a tough sell, right?
The math part of it's a tough sell.
Yeah, the math is.
The other parts are.
Yeah.
Less.
Yeah.
Much easier to sell. And
yeah. Well, cool.
People are usually pretty interested in that part.
You got to do the Archimedes thing. You take a bath and then.
No.
And then wear your crown, put your crown in the tub with you. And then,
see if it's all gold.
Yeah. And then it displaces. And this kind of. Yeah.
I did run around yelling Eureka.
But that was unrelated, I think. That was more of a drug interaction, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Could be.
All right, Bill, great to have you here. Someone out there plays along with you. And Jim Packard, how do they do that?
This is an encore performance, so don't call today, but save your call for another time.
Okay, what's very old and walks like a very large bow-legged butler?
Jim
Packard. What? It's a discovery in Peru of a very old species of something that's made the news, and it's 36 million years old, and it's represented by a butler-like, bow-legged, waddling creature of today. But it's an ancient version of the same. Jake, you're on the line there from San Antonio. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Did you read about this big discovery here of this very ancient bird-like creature?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Well, then what else do you want to talk about? Anything else going on? Or?
Well, you know, I've seen you. I was at your show when you came to San Antonio.
Oh.
I was at the show, I was in the very front row, and you picked the guy in the row in front of me to play the quiz.
Oh, so close.
Yeah, I was close.
Yeah. So you feel you've earned a spot here.
I'm so excited.
Well, then you got to say, what kind of a creature was this bird-like creature that waddled and wasn't wearing a tuxedo in those days?
Was it a penguin?
Yes, that's right, the ancient penguin. There, did I make it up to you, Jake? Or...
Sorry?
Did I make it up or not? You feel better about that? Because, you know, I get that all the time. Pick the person in front of you and whatever.
I'd say we're even now.
Cool. What do you do there in San Antonio?
Well, I'm a eighth grader student at San Antonio Academy.
You're in eighth grade?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're very mature, Jacob.
Well, thank you.
I bet you're a good student, too. Huh? You doing pretty well this year?
I certainly hope so.
Yeah. Do you like physics?
You know, I've never, I didn't think I enjoy physics. Actually, this year I take geometry this year.
Yeah. Well, you got to take physics, right, Bill?
Right. Of course.
Yeah. One good reason why Jacob should study physics.
So he becomes an educated voter.
So you become an educated voter, Jacob.
You have to know about, you know, people should know about science and physics to make an educated decision about going to Mars.
There you go. There you go, Jacob. And Bill was a physics teacher, so that he could help you in that regard. Okay, so the two of you are a team now. Jacob, Bill, did you say hello?
Hello, Jacob.
Hello, Mr. Phil.
Bill.
It's a tough name, but you'll get the hang of it. All right, the two of you work together. You're a team. Jim Packard, what are those categories?
Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science or odds and ends.
You play any sports out there, Jacob?
I do tennis and lacrosse.
Oh, you do? Wow. Cool. What category would you like, Jake? You pick the first one.
Well, I think we should do the school one.
All right. Let's see what it is. All right. This all started with the October 12th, 1810 marriage of Bavarian Prince Ludwig with Saxon Princess Teresa in Munich and their week-long reception in October. And I'm wondering, what am I talking about? What festival or event started with this giant wedding reception in October in Munich in 1810?
Well, Jacob, I kind of go with Oktoberfest.
That was the first thing that came to my mind, too.
Well, get that out of your mind.
You're too young, Jacob.
Yeah, that's right. That's Oktoberfest. And what a party it was. In fact, it's still going on.
One right, no wrong.
Okay, what's left there, Jimmy?
We have current events, people, places, science, odds and ends.
Okay. Let's try science.
Bill? So how do you retire? Are you doing good? You had a good retirement?
My wife still works.
Oh, she does. But I mean, if you're on...
She has a good job with high pay.
Yeah. Now you get up in the morning, and what do you do? Just go back to bed? Or
right? No, I do my household chores. I go out for a walk.
Yeah.
Mow the lawn in the summer.
Yeah.
Shovel the snow in the winter.
Okay.
Clean the house. Do the wash.
Yeah.
So read my newspapers.
Aren't you a little sorry you're retired, given all that...
No, nice.
I mean, don't you fish or...
I golf some.
Hunt? Do you golf a little?
Golf poorly.
Okay, that's good. Nah, I don't know where these science questions are coming from these days. Nah. Okay, who's healthier, a teetotaler or a moderate drinker?
I'd vote for the moderate drinker.
You what? Yes. So that's what you're doing around the house.
Probably.
Drinking moderately. Jacob, I don't know if you studied this or anything, but...
I heard my parents talking about a study that says drinking, maybe a glass of wine a day actually makes you healthier, makes you live longer.
Yes.
So I'd have to agree with the Phil.
And you have to agree with your parents as well, right? Yes, that's right. Bill. Moderate drinking. A glass of wine.
Or two.
A 64-ouncer.
That's two right and no wrong.
Okay. Something like that. So they're doing good.
They're doing well. Current events, people, places, odds, and ends.
Jacob?
Current events.
Okay. So is it lacrosse season now yet? Or?
I believe it's more of a... it's still a little hot here.
It is? Oh, I guess there it would be, yeah. And, so when is lacrosse season?
After football season.
Oh, it is, huh. All right, because of a new nuclear weapons plant in Kansas City, many people... There are some people, anyhow, believe it will have unintended consequences. Would those consequences be A, UFO visits, their fear that it will inspire UFO visits, a nuclear accident, or that it will discourage tourism to the Kansas City area? New nuclear weapons plant in Kansas City. Do people believe that there might be UFO visits inspired by it, that there could be an accident, or that it could just simply discourage tourism in the greater Kansas City area?
I believe I read there was the Air Force thinks that UFOs in the past have gone to nuclear production sites, like the missile silos in North Dakota.
Oh, okay.
Do you think that these people are one of those moderate drinkers?
Jacob, I like your style. I'll tell you that right now. You could do this show, Jacob. You want to take over, we'll get you up here. You know, just got to get through, another couple of years of school, right?
Assuming that school is important.
Yeah, well, sure it's important. So you're saying UFO visits.
That's what I go with.
Jacob?
Okay.
Yes, they're saying the UFOs are going to come and visit the site. Interesting. Holy cow. They've won, Jim.
They have won the quiz, and Bill and Jake, you can take a prize and stop here, or you can go on and try for the mother load. You do have to answer two questions correctly from our three remaining categories. Uh-huh. If you miss either one of those, you're going to listen to Jeff carry on about bats in his belfry.
All right. A little tension here on the crew.
I'll go for the mother load.
Jacob, okay with you? You want to try for everything?
I don't see why not.
Okay, I don't either. Got to get them both right. What categories are left there, Jim Packard?
People, places, odds, and ends.
Okay. Is it back to...
Yep.
Let's try places.
Yeah. Places, okay. This could be anywhere. Do you travel at all?
Yes.
Yeah. Where have you been recently?
Stratford, Ontario.
Ontario?
Yes.
Yeah. What did you do there?
Well,
you
went to the festival, the theater festival in Stratford, Ontario.
Oh yeah. I heard about that.
Very good.
Sounds cool. That's that Shakespeare stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do other stuff, too.
Yeah? Which one did you see?
We saw Evita.
Who?
Evita.
That's Shakespeare?
That was in their non-Shakespearean
thing. Oh, okay. That sounds good. Who was Evita?
I don't remember.
Oh, was it?
You mean the real Evita?
No, I mean, I know Evita, Perone's
wife.
Yeah, but, sometimes like Madonna, did that.
No, only in the movies.
Okay. I'm sorry, Jacob.
Wasn't Evita from Buenos Aires... Like that thing about Buenos Aires and all that?
Yeah.
Ah.
All right. The only state where folks actually eat three servings of veggies a day. Is it California, Tennessee, or Oregon? You know, we're supposed to eat three servings of vegetables a day. They don't do it anywhere except in one state. Hmm. Is it California, Tennessee, or Oregon?
Well, Jacob,
I didn't even realize that happened in America.
A good point. I think I'd drop off Tennessee.
You sure you want to do that?
Well, I only get half a vote.
Tennessee, a big agrarian economy there, and people...
What are the other choices?
They have a meat and three in Tennessee, where you get three choices of vegetable along with your meat.
They do.
I'm just saying.
No.
Very common.
I think I...
They overcook them, but they're good.
If I had to choose, I think I'd pick Oregon, but
What if he didn't?
Jacob could swing.
What if he didn't have to choose?
Well, Jacob,
you got
could
any
choose.
Feelings about this, Jacob?
Oregon, you know, they sounds good.
It does. Not to me, though, not so much, no.
Well, Jacob, but maybe we better change our choice.
Well, I'm not trying to steer you in any direction.
We do
here.
Need an answer, though.
Yeah.
Jake, pick.
Oregon.
Or Tennessee or California, I guess. Maybe didn't hear all three.
The hint is for you to change, not pick Oregon.
Okay, then Tennessee.
Tennessee is right, yes. Holy cow.
Thank you.
That's right. What's left there, Jim?
People or odds and ends?
People or odds and ends. Jacob. Hurry, Jacob.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Here it is. The ancient Nubians of North Africa laced their beer with one of the following: aphrodisiacs, hallucinogens, or tetracycline, which naturally occurred in the soil.
I'm going to go aphrodisiac.
Or tetracyclines, which naturally occurred in the soil in ancient Nubia in North Africa.
Jacob, has your choice been changed?
Jacob?
I think that you should get the one that they got from the dirt.
Yeah, I'll go with the dirt.
Get the one that they got from the dirt. That's right, tetracycline, naturally occurring. Unbelievable.
Our next live shows in Madison are November 10th and 17th at Monona Terrace. Tickets at notmuch.com or by calling 608-262-2201. Wish you could enjoy What Do You Know every day? You can. Follow the fun on our Facebook page or go to the newly minted NotMuch.com and play the brand spanking new online quiz. Plus, laugh throughout the week by following Michael on Twitter. His handle is at MyFeldman. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer, international. Adam Friedrich, producer, with assistance from Michelle Good, Martin Babcock, Lyle Anderson, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
PRI, Public Radio International.